your wedding day. You've been dreaming and planning it for what feels like a lifetime. And then COVID-19 hits the scene like that fourth cousin your Aunt Debbie forced you to invite. Don't worry, we're here to help. Welcome to the Ohio Bride Podcast, a special edition. Over the next few weeks, we'll be going live with industry professionals to answer all of your questions and help you navigate this sticky situation as it unfolds. So sit back, grab a glass of wine, maybe the entire bottle, no judgment here, and tune in at 7 p.m. on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for advice you can actually use. Can't make it to a live broadcast? Not a problem. Listen to any episode after it airs.
Everyone, welcome to our first special edition. I'm so excited. We have Carrie with us tonight of STEM Floral Design. She is
Hello.
The founder. Hello, I'm so happy you're here. I want to plug you though. You are the founder and head designer, and you own mm-hmm. this business, and you've been in the industry for over, or I guess nearly 20 years.
Yep.
Don't give you too
yep.
much credit. I mean, 20 years.
Don't age me that much.
I know. Well, we may or may not have graduated high school the same year, so I'm going to tread cautiously there. I am so happy you are, Kate, we're able to come on tonight and chat. And I really want to put together some information to really help couples out as they're making decisions on if they're going to postpone, if they're going to hang in there and hope it works out the date they have, and what that means for their flowers, for their wedding.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for coming on. Tell me a little bit
My
about
pleasure.
Your background.
Well, let me start off. I was started off as a floral clerk when I was in college. So I did this as part-time and started off in my hometown of Worcester, Ohio, which is about 2 hours north of Columbus. So I started off as part-time, was not a floral designer at that moment because back then you had to have, the schooling and the certificate before you ever touch flowers. So I was a person learning how to do the bows, bleaching buckets, everything. And it was just my side gig, while I was in college and everything. But it also grew into me going to take classes and get certified as a floral designer. So from that, I ended up down in Columbus around the time of 9/11. So I worked downtown I worked at a shop that was like it was connected to the city center mall and everything. And so what we did down there was we supplied a lot of the lobby arrangements. So like we had lobby arrangements for the different companies downtown that were doing your weekly arrangements at say like, 300, 350 a week of these nice elaborate arrangements. So when 9/11 hit and everything, it literally like took the bottom out from underneath us. And so I had seen over the years of what happens when all this, goes on. So kind of as the business started to fizzle out with the economy, I went into business management, which was what I was going to school for in the first place. So I was with Bath and Body Works, and then I ended up going over to Ann Taylor Loft. And so that's the area of that with the corporation really gave me such a good grounding for running my own business because to me, it's very important to have that type of training, not only the schooling, but to also go into corporation as well, where they have strict guidelines. So as the economy has gone up and down, I've always continued my love for flowers. It's just always been something that's been like second nature to me. But I also grew up in a rural area where predominantly everybody up there was farmers. My graduating class was less than 100 people. Majority of them were people. Future
we
farmers
were
of America.
Over at Ashland. We were
Northwestern.
Over at Ashland. Yeah.
I went to Northwestern. Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, I didn't even think about it. Yeah, because
actually
we were a little over 300, actually.
Yeah, you guys were actually, because you were, Ashland City? Yeah, Ashland City School. I grew up in a very, very rural area, where they had Bring Your Tractor Day. It was kind of crazy. So yes, I am still a farm girl at heart. I love everything about, you know, horticulture, agriculture, everything, but also Worcester having the OSU ATI, so the ag school up there. I've always had my love for flowers. I thoroughly enjoy weddings. As my time has gone on, I really do also enjoy instructing too, but that's just a time in my life because of where I am in my life as well. I've already kind of gone through, you know, where you go through that time where you just absolutely love the attraction of being that person who created the bouquet in somebody's wedding and that feeling that you get from it. But, you know, I'm a very humbled person. I'm very grounded, and I stay pretty optimistic through everything that goes on. So I'm just usually one of those that does prefer to kind of stay in the background. So I was always that person, you know. Somebody asked me for like a headshot, and I'm like, how about a side shot? Like, I don't want a direct picture. How about not?
Oh, is that why I got that picture that you sent me for a headshot? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I have a friend who's a photographer in here and she's like, let me do some headshots for you. I'm like, really? Like, I really don't want to do, you know, I'm just one of those people that like, I don't know. It's just how I've always been. I don't need the spotlight of it. So, you know, as I've gone through, the times where 9/11 was, and then of course the recession that happened in 2007. It's really built up a lot of resilience for me, because if you don't build up that resilience, and if you've never gone through something as terrifying as this, you know, you don't know how to develop that ability to recover. So that it makes you, you know, a better person. So, you know, there was this quote that I was reading on. It was talking about resilience, and it was said to be a person or group's ability to recover from adversity to continue projecting the future. So sometimes in difficult circumstances or traumas, you know, allow the development of resources that were dormant and that individual was unaware of until something bad happens like this. So this is confirmed by, you know, like that we learn how to develop this resilience of it. So for some people, they're like, why is it that you are just not frantic? I'm like, I don't know. You know, there's a group of us in this industry right now who never saw, you know, that they may have been in high school or grade school when 9/11 hit,
right.
That they were maybe in college or just, you know, graduating from high school in 2007 when the recession hit and everything. So this here is a big one, and this is a major, major hit on the floral industry in general, because people don't understand. If you're not in this industry, you really don't see how everything ties together in order to make it work well. And, you know, it's not just, we don't source our flowers just from local. You know, we do support local, but there are flowers that have to be imported in that they, you know, especially when flowers are in high demand, because
right.
Majority of the, you know, it's like, and even in, you know, Ohio, you know, you do have, you know, some of your flower farms around here and everything. They're not mass producing. You know, a lot of years it's within the U.S. it's mass producing is, you know, in California. So it's not typically here. It's domestically 75% is, you know, grown in California, and the 25% of it is broken up between, you know, like states like Florida, Hawaii, you know, Washington, other states, Ohio, Michigan. So what had happened the other day when all of this hit, it was almost like a perfect storm that happened. So the timing that COVID-19 had hit as it started to trickle down throughout the other countries and everything was just as these flower farms were ramping up to mass produce. I mean, they're mass producing right now because we're ramping up for the wedding industry. So it was almost like the
right.
perfect storm with us.
Yeah,
right at
the
time it happened.
In.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, as everything was being, sent over to the Aljmer flower auction, which is, you know, in the Netherlands, it's the largest flower auction in the world.
Tell us about this.
And that's what, and I don't know how many people may have seen some of the pictures on social media where over at Aljmer, they dumped. they dumped all of these cut flowers because they had nowhere to go. And then you had people that were so upset because it was devastating to, you know, to see. But, you know, for me, it's sad to see, but I also understand that this is an industry. This is, you know, this is horticulture, and these are farmers and everything. And so I look at the whole entire picture, not just those beautiful blooms, but the whole entire picture of what makes this all work. But, you know, it happens so fast, and the bottom just dropped out that they had nothing they could do. So everything got dumped, and they just, you know, pushed it all over to use for compost and everything. And because this is a perishable product, you know, the floral industry, in a situation like this, we can't just say, we'll put them aside and come back to it in 3 months because it's perishable. There's the, you know, they're dying once they're cut, pretty much. So, you know, there's only so much that they can do.
So can you give me an idea of how far out you have to purchase from your sources for, say, a wedding? You know, what's the lead time that you need, let's say, in an ideal world? Let's say, you know, it's a normal season. What's the ideal world versus what we're looking at now?
So within the floral industry and the wedding industry, I will kind of like walk you through of like where things, you know, like how this has happened and how this all plays a part. So like, you know, with the COVID-19 pandemic, you know, it's pretty much put the floral and wedding industry to a screeching halt, you know, sending a lot of businesses that rely on this industry, you know, for their liveliness, you know, scrambling to figure out how they're going to make ends meet. But in the current situation of this, of how it plays into why so much of the industry is kind of like they're stumped. They don't know what's going on because this has never happened before. And that's why so many people can't give answers right now, like exact timing, because we really don't know on the exact timing of all this so that it can go back to normal again. So, you know, like with the cut flowers, you know, they're grown in a variety of locations. So, you know, just for that, it's, you know, while there's flower farms, you know, within US that supplies the wedding industry, we also rely on flower farms all over the world to supply the high demand of flowers. So if we take a look at it, most cut flowers are grown in warm climates. So because of those climates, it allows for flower production to go throughout most of the year. Whereas if it was local, the climate isn't there for it to go all year round. So that's why it's so important for the floral industry to maintain those gorgeous, gorgeous flower farms that are in Colombia and Ecuador and everything, because they're in the climate where they can grow the product that is needed for the wedding industry all year round. And without them, we're limited to how much. You're limited to the colors. You're limited to the varieties that you have been able to get before. So, you know, where we are in our current situation, you know, right now in our current situation, so Colombia and Ecuador, they've declared like a state of emergency. So they are starting nationwide quarantine on them as well. So experts of cut flowers, they've decreased by 80% for the exports of cut flowers. Okay. So export of cut flowers have decreased by 80%, and they expect them to be at 100% in the following week. That's export. So it is major. So what they're saying is many growers have decided to stop exporting for at least 20 days from yesterday. So reports that I got is that these growers, these major growers, they decided to stop exporting for at least 20 days from yesterday. So this is as of, you know, of course, March 23rd. So most workers are being sent home from these flower farms, and any flowers harvested will be destroyed and used for compost at the moment. So it is right now, everything is at a standstill. So anybody who there's a question back and forth of when this is going to really, really peak for the U.S., you know, for COVID-19.
Yeah, it definitely, I mean, daily, I feel like, and perhaps it's just me, but I feel like every day the information changes. Right. You know, as far as when the peak's going to be, how long the stay at home is going to need to be in place. And I understand it. I understand the reasoning behind it. But the uncertainty definitely makes it difficult for anyone in the wedding industry.
Exactly. And, you know, and if you look at it this way, to give you a better idea about these cut flower farms and everything and why they're so important for our wedding industry is because if you look at farmers around Ohio, okay, so if you look at farmers that crop for corn, soybeans, wheat, stuff like that, so they have their machinery that puts the seeds in the ground. They also have the machinery, like combines, to bring the crop out, you know, so that they can have that yield then for their crops for the end of the year. Cut flower farms, they don't have a machine that manually goes. They employ workers, thousands and thousands of workers to go and because they have to manually cut every single flower because they're fragile. You know, they don't have, you can't go through with a combine and do that.
Not here, of course.
So, it takes a huge army to run these farms. So we are like, hopefully, you know, like hopefully the government is, and there is word that the governments are stepping in to help relieve some of this, whether it is that they, you know, delay payments and everything like that. But there are some of them that are currently, they don't know where they are going to stand because they have no help from their government. So at the moment, nobody knows exactly which farms are going to come out of this and, you know, like which ones are and which ones aren't. We don't know. I would only hope that, you know, especially with some of these countries, that this is a huge, you know, part of their economy, you know, their money making, that they will provide some sort of help to get them back on. But, you know, in the meantime, everything is, you know, looks like a lot of this is going to be, you know, very, very limited. Now, when everything picks back up, the one thing is, we don't know quite yet. You know, is there going to be shortages of something, you know? So the thing is, it's like a lot of our stuff that we do source within the U.S., you know, because our wholesale florists, you know, the sales people there, we have Driesbach here in town. You have Mayish up in Cleveland and everything. You know, those salespeople, they're sourcing stuff not only within the U.S., but from all over the world. So when they are getting their product and everything, as a florist and for, you know, weddings and everything, we need that amount of time, you know, to get things ordered so that we're guaranteed the product to come in on time for your wedding. So we are always, I've always been that person that is like, you know, 3 weeks, four weeks out, we have to make sure that we get those in so that we can guarantee. If you are waiting till, if you're a bride that's waiting till the last minute or you want a last minute change, I can't guarantee that we're going to be able to get that product. You may not. If it's something that's readily available all the time, that's one thing, but it all depends on, you know, each year what's going on. You know, 1 year we may have a hurricane where it takes out a lot of, you know, the stuff that is supplied out of Miami. That happened 1 year where, you know, our wholesalers could not guarantee us certain roses, you know, to come in because they weren't sure what was going to be coming in and what, you know, what was affected. All this stuff takes effect to it. So we just need to make sure that, you know, going forward, you know, it's still like nobody knows. Like, oh, this will be over by this time.
Right.
Well, I guess we'll kind of see.
But as a floral designer and having as much experience as you do, I mean, for couples, it's not like we're gonna have flowerless weddings when it does break.
Right.
It's just a matter of having to gracefully make what their dreams were or are, and with the reality of what you can source and be able to come up with, like, you know, because you have all this experience, I think that's going to really play a part for your couples in particular of being able to have the options of, hey, I know you really wanted this, but I can source these things and I can get you as close to the look as you wanted. And so, like, I don't feel, and please tell me if I'm wrong, that, you know, we're going to end up with, like I say, flowerless weddings. It's just going to be a matter of perhaps not the exact you know, pin you found on Pinterest.
Exactly. You know, and that's where in the contracts that brides do sign, you know, with a wedding florist, that it does say in that, and that's, you know, in that fine print, you know, in situations, of course, this is a perfect situation, perfect example of why that is in the fine print, that there, that we may need to make substitutions. And this is a perfect example of it, because we don't, for me, I'm one of those people that I will tell a bride, you know, it is, this is how it is. Like, I will lay it out, because I am a true believer of not never overpromising and coming in under delivering. Like, that to me is it's a big pet peeve for me. So that's the biggest thing right now. Don't overpromise, because you're going to under deliver. And to be honest, you need to be honest, you know, like the vendors need to be honest with the brides need to really, you know, listen in and everything and understand that there are some things that are going to be changed. Yeah. You know, it didn't turn out the way, you know, like the way that you envision it in your head. Nobody thought that this was going to be happening like right before full blown wedding season came in.
Right. Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Though, but
do you think that this is going to drive the cost of floral up for events that are being postponed in general? I did some research before our call tonight, and I came across an article from the Better Business Bureau that stated 2018 stats says the average cost of floral at a wedding in Ohio is $2,534. And obviously that's the entire state. So I'm curious what your thoughts are going to be about pricing, and how does that work in your contract process for the couple? You know, as far as unforeseen price increases, how would you manage those, or how will you manage those? I'm sure that probably will be a thing.
You know, and it's kind of hard to tell, because I look at my, you know, my family that does crop. And when they've had something like this, you look at last year with the season, that how wet the season was. And if you don't follow agriculture and everything, you may not have even known any of this. Or maybe you were just driving past fields last year and you noticed that there's no soybeans or cornfields out there, because it was such a wet season that farmers couldn't get their, you know, couldn't get everything into the ground. So they lost, but, you know, they had crop insurance, everything to help like balance that out. But when you don't have a high, when you typically, from what, you know, like how it's gone before, is typically when you don't have a high yield, which is that, wow, you know, our flowers were booming. Like, we have so many, like our plants just produced a million gazillion heads. That is, you know, what they refer to as, you know, high yields. So that high yield year that you may have, you know, you're just bringing in and everything, that the demand of it, you know, is stays really nice and steady. But so in this situation, it's kind of hard to see if it usually drops the prices, because, you know, the demand isn't there. So they start to drop the prices on it. But with this, it's kind of hard to tell how it's going to all play out, because they got to get the business out there. So it's not going to drastically change, I don't think.
Okay.
I don't know if I don't know if this will also, you know, it may spur, you know, people to decide to do, you know, like start their own businesses as flower farms or anything, to have more in the U.S., you know, with flower farms. But, you know, to be honest, like, that is just something that flowers just can't grow. We don't have, especially in Ohio, we don't have the climate to, like, be able to grow everything here. It just isn't doable. Like, it just isn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, with the average cost of flowers or everything, you're very, I agree. That's very, very accurate. That I would say is for the average wedding is $2,500, you know, for all of Ohio. But if they are contracted, if a bride is already contracted in, you know, and this is the proposal that was given to them, these were the numbers. I'm speaking only for myself. And if prices go up, I honestly, I would for myself, I would eat that cost, because I can't see myself going in changing. You know, by the way, I know that you, I told you this was going to be $2,500, but you know, now it's like this price now. So now I'm going to add now it's going to be $5,000, but and that's,
right.
I'm being very exaggerated on that. But
yeah,
to me,
of course.
I couldn't see, you know, that contract is on that end of it. You need to make, they're a customer and you are doing them a service. We are in the service industry here. And, you know, they're already stressed out enough. They're already dishing out a lot of money as it is, but we are providing a service for them. And to me personally, if the price of flowers did go up, I would, as my business, I would unfortunately eat the cost of it.
Yeah.
I couldn't see going back.
Yes. Yeah. I understand. It is also one of the craziest. While obviously, like you mentioned earlier, a hurricane in Miami can cause you to not be able to get specific roses in. This is a whole different level.
This is a whole different thing. Yeah, this is a whole different thing.
Yes, makes complete sense. So another question I have for you, for couples, what can they be doing now? What can they be doing now? Let's say, hey, they know they're going to have to postpone. How can they start making judgment calls or start looking at different flower design that they may like now? Is it good for them to give you a call and talk to you, you know, so you can speak with them directly? You know, couples out there who haven't called their florist yet or whatnot, what would you recommend for your clients to do at this point? Let's say if they had a May date.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, hopefully everybody has been reaching out to everybody. As a florist, I've already reached out to my brides just to say, hey, I know that your wedding is at this date. I don't foresee any issues at the moment, but you know, I'm just checking in with you and everything. But what I would do as a bride, you know, yeah, stay in contact with your florist. The florist, like, trust that your florist is going to make a good judgment to take what you wanted originally and combine, you know, substitute, make the substitutions that are needed, but to still give you the vision that you really, really did want. And, you know, if the flower is more important than the shade, or if the shade is more important than the flower, typically it's like they, you know, they have a very particular color palette that they want to work on. But, you know, if you're with a really good florist that knows how to change it at the, you know, like they know how to change
it,
they know how to get in there, they know how to find something that's going to be very comparable to what you had originally wanted and let them figure it out. But, you know, that's, florists really do need to, you know, they do need to be offering that. I'm sure that they, you know, that there's majority of the florists are out there, and I would hope all of them are.
Yeah, it makes complete sense to me. I think for me personally, it's the communication piece, as I have, you know, I've had a lot of contact with all types of vendors. I call you guys categories. I probably should stop calling you guys categories, but that's how I refer to you all. That's a secret that I've now. So in discussions with a lot of people, I think it's the communication piece is so important. And
yes,
I have
definitely
mentioned on multiple occasions in several groups so far that for a lot of people, this is a grieving process. They're grieving that their day of how it was going to be, how they envisioned it. And they're going to go through the natural steps in the grieving process.
Yeah, it's all the steps of it.
Crazy. But that's what's happening. And it's not just in the wedding industry. It's for a lot of different things. But
sure,
I feel that that is also, I feel like the communication piece and that idea of like, no questions but too stupid right now. And you might not have the answer. But giving them a, you know, just having the conversation, I think, is probably more important than even if you can't give them an actual answer.
Yeah.
You know,
It is one of those things, you know, like we have never seen anything like this happen. hopefully it'll be a long time until this ever happens again. But, you know, it's a very unique situation that we are in. I think that, you know, the only way that you're going to like get yourself through it is, you know, be optimistic and just kind of right now we're in a lockdown. We're in no rush to get anything done right at the moment. So I would think at the moment, right. You know, kind of like lay to me, I would honestly lay low for just a little bit so that as we are figuring out and as, you know, like as our world is figuring out what all is going on and how they're seeing things play out in this, you know, kind of just take a breather. And I think that it seems like this week, the past couple of days, it's been a little bit better than what happened last week. So.
Yeah, I was saying that. I was speaking with family earlier, and I said the same thing that I mean, I have my kids and myself, we have definitely paid attention and stayed on the lockdown. So we're not out and about. I can't give any good information that way. But I will say that in tone, it doesn't feel as itchy, is how I've been referring to it, as it did the previous week. And I could just be me trying to look at the bright side of things. But it feels like people have made the jump from the, you know, that this is really happening to now
they've accepted it.
Yes, I completely agree. I think in general, people are starting to accept this is where we are, and now they're in the coping phase of, this is what it is.
The next phase will be depression. It's like once you kind of come to terms with it and everything, it is what I say. It is what it is. What are we to do? There's nothing we can do at the moment. This is what it is, and we just have to deal with it and know that once we get out of this and everything, things will eventually go back to normal, you know? Like, life has its good and bad moments, and this is, unfortunately, is one of those times it's a really bad moment. So, you know, we are living in times where, you know, we need to, you know, value, you know, what's fundamental in life right now. I think that to really humble yourself and get down to, we have been go, go, go in a society that everybody needs an answer right at the moment, and unfortunately, there is no, like, nobody's getting answers right at the moment, right now, on anything. Like, when's this going to be over? I don't know.
This morning I woke up and the internet wasn't working, and but all of my business is internet based, of course. And it's so funny because typically I will just be in a tiz about that. And oh my gosh, what am I going to do today? Well, and this morning I was like, oh, okay. Because it just didn't seem as other things.
What did I do?
I was like, oh, you know, I mean, I've been working substantially more recently, just with everything going on than I typically do. So for me as well, this morning, I was like, okay. So it's just funny. Yeah. Like, things that used to be like a trigger are less so for me right now. I am also extremely lucky in that my children are a little bit on the, you know, they're middle school. And so, you know, I don't have little ones running around that I can't find time to. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time tonight. I completely appreciate you and sharing all of this great information with us. Where can people find you? Tell us the website.
You can jump on my website at www.stemfloralstudio.com. I am still in the process of a web designer finishing out my website. But you could still jump on for my current website. You can also find me on Instagram. I'm more of an Instagram person than Facebook, just because I'm not a big social media person. But you can jump on Instagram and find me at Stem Floral Studio that way. Definitely.
We'll get all those links on the website for you too, so that folks can reach out to you. And again, I just want to say thanks so much. And if we have anybody who has any follow-up questions, just shoot them to us. hello@theohioweddingcollective.com, and we will send them over Carrie's way and she'll get back to you.
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. Thanks again. I hope you guys are all enjoying some downtime this evening with your families. And we will see you on Friday night at 7 again, live with Ashley Price. And she will be talking about some self-care items and just different ways for us to cope in this time period, you know, that aren't to help ease some of the stress and whatnot. Ashley is a really great photographer But she's going to be talking about the rituals for finding peace amidst the chaos. So looking forward to that. We'll have all that information up everywhere shortly. And this will be available on all of your favorite podcasting apps just as soon as I figure out how to do it. So, yeah. It says it's very easy. It gives me a tutorial on here. So we'll see how that goes. Oh, awesome. Okay. You have a great night, and we will talk to you all soon.
Thank you.